Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast. With your hosts, Derek Nasty Settemeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Rigorelia? Just coming off that big win in men's league.
Oh, yeah.
Playoffs against our good buddies, the Blue Devils. That was a good game.
It was a good game.
For men's league, that was a really good
game.
Wasn't
as sloppy as most men's league games are?
I don't think it was. I think it was a good game.
Good execution. In the third period,
3-3.
Yeah.
Going in, I think we only won by one or two goals. But a lot of fun. You were sniping. You were sniping. Did you snipe?
Toby in action. First one. Snipe. First shift. First 20 seconds.
Well, if you saw the highlight, it was all over on my goal.
The backdoor tapping.
I thought the puck was going to go through the net. They bounced on me. I just got it across the line. But that was a good game. A lot of fun. But we don't play the finals until the 8th of January.
Is it the finals?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, we go to the finals. Now we're in the finals, bro. We're
going for
the chip, man.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going for it.
Quick playoffs. I thought we had another playoff game there before the finals. But
no,
Good to know. Mentally prepared. Maybe my new wheels ready to rock for that game.
Yes, we have to do that, for God's sakes. Right. Although you were buzzing the other night.
Yeah.
But I hate waiting till the 8th, but it is what it is.
Yep. Yep, it's men's league for you.
It's men's league.
Yep. What else we got going on?
I got a couple-week break. With the Rebels, the kids are on their holidays now. We actually have a couple that went over for World Juniors.
Awesome.
Yeah, so they've been away for a couple weeks now, but we got a little break. We played Monday in Danbury. Won that game in overtime. The last two there we've won in overtime, but boys are playing better.
Yep.
It's been a lot of fun. Been scaring the boys a little bit.
Yeah, you showed me a couple clips. Going.
Yeah, we'll throw a couple clips up there. I'm sure Baller will. And it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun being in the room.
I bet. Yeah, man, it seems like
it. They're all good kids, and they're working hard. And Justin Hale and Matty Gaudreau coaching do a really good job.
Yeah.
So it's been fun. But I am looking forward to the break.
Oh, yeah, I bet. It's a lot of hours you're squeezing in there.
Yeah.
But you're having fun. Again, see you're kind of carrying over what you normally do in the locker room, too.
Yeah. Play a lot of these nuts.
A lot of scaring, screwing with the guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure they love it, loving that.
That's fun, man.
Yep. And then in Flyerland.
Well, it just seems like every week we get a bomb dropped on us. you know.
Seems like it.
Sedlak just up and leaves.
Yeah. That was kind of...
I wasn't expecting that.
That was unexpected, for sure.
Not sure what it was. A lot of things getting thrown around. He didn't want to be here. Didn't want to, didn't like losing, but I'm not sure what it was.
Yeah.
It's, you know, some said family. I think that's what he had said in a tweet. But you never know, but doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't look good. No, for sure not. Yeah, and there's a lot of speculation around, obviously, the team's state of affairs, potentially coach. You know, we'll never truly know. But if there's some family issues there, and, you know, the team's status probably helped make the decision too, right?
I mean,
you're not a contender, obviously. But, you know, it sucks for him to have to leave. Obviously, doesn't reflect well ever when a guy leaves a team, but you know, it is what it is. It's it's a shame, but if it's a personal issue, you gotta take care of your family, you gotta take care of yourself, make some hard decisions sometimes. So wish him the best.
Yeah, wish him the best.
Whatever landed up happening there. But
it's funny, we were just talking to him about him last week with Hartson.
I know, right?
The next thing you know, the next day, I think.
Yeah, right.
I'm out. And then we get dropped on us. Cam Atkinson's out for the year.
Yep.
It's
a big blow. You know, I didn't see that one coming either.
I didn't.
He was very close to coming back. And then.
Yeah, I guess he had successful surgery this morning.
Okay. All right.
So hopefully he gets all fixed up, and I guess we'll wait to see what happens next year with him. But
the surgery was on what? Was it on his labrum? Because I'm hearing labrum and I'm hearing neck.
The Flyers put out that it was his neck, but I know he did have some issues with his shoulder. I think everyone knew that.
Yeah.
And it kind of linked. Maybe I'm not a doctor, so
you're not.
Well, not today. I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But
oh, that's classic.
I thought it was shoulder. Turns out something in the neck as well, which is always scary.
Yeah, it could all be connected too. You know, I think originally, as you're mentioning, the shoulder in training camp, or what he was nursing from the start, apparently avoided surgery.
Apparently.
or opted out of surgery. And then, you know, and I get where he's coming from. You don't want to start digging into some of these serious areas if you don't have to. There's always that argument of, can we rehab this versus having to dig in? Well, it turns out, obviously, he needed the surgery, whether it was on that or a indirect surgery that was associated with that injury. But
yeah, exactly. And I wonder if just where we are in the standings.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
right.
Obviously, maybe has something to do with it.
Oh, I'm
as
sure.
Well,
yeah.
But obviously, we wish him the best recovery, healthy, and get him back, because he says once he's playing, he's coming on the pod. So
all right, yeah,
let's get
exactly.
You back, boy. Come on, Cam.
Yeah, well, it'll be 2023, maybe late 2024. Yeah. Well, wish him the best.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, tough blow for the squad. Could use some extra goal scoring and
definitely
and
could use that.
Playmaking. And then you know, Torts is flexing.
He flexed on our boy Hollywood a little bit. You know, he sat him in the third period against New Jersey.
Yeah.
And that was like talked about, and then against the Rangers he scratched him. Healthy, he scratched him. So you know, obviously we're not in the room anymore. Don't know exactly what's going on, but he's your leading points guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get it, that's Torch. You know, he does these things, you know, he wants to send a message. I don't know, what are your thoughts? You were a player.
Yeah, I'd like to unpack this a little bit, you know, just playing devil's advocate. And, you know, knowing Torts, right, or any coach for that matter, you know, when things aren't going well, you have to send a message, right?
Right.
And I think we all know, like, and I love Hazy, right? And everyone's got their warts, right? Every
right.
player's got their, you know, their knock, and, you know, big body, maybe a little bit soft at times in certain situations. You know, maybe Torts wants him to be a little more physical, whatever that lands up being. I know the NHL Network showed a little highlight reel of him, you know, turning away and all that, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, he is your leading scorer, and he is a glue guy in the locker room.
Big glue
and,
guy.
You know, I'll give, you know, Witter some credit for a good, really good point he made on Spin Chicklets there, that he talks about, you know, do you want to engage in that fight, you know, engage in that battle with a glue guy and your leading scorer? Is that a timely, you know, war you want to pick?
Right.
If things aren't going well. But that's subjective, right? I mean, it's like I get what Torts is doing. However, I'm not sure it's going to generate the result that it is expected to. I don't know. Right. What your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I just, you know, like, I know what Torch is trying to do. We both know. Right. I think everyone knows what he's trying to do. But, you know, AZ's never been a guy that's running guys through the wall.
No.
That's not really his game. He's a tricky player. He slows the game down a bit. Not saying he's slow, but he does slow the game down.
Yeah, which is an unbelievable skill.
It is. You know, like you said, Billy Lindsay on the network showed some clips, and I get it. Like, maybe he could rub a guy out or whatever, but it's really not in his game. I don't know. But like you said, you look at both sides of it. You see Hazy's side. You see, you know, Torch's side. But he is having a good year as far as points goes, you know, and they need all the points they can get is, you know, from the players. But you hate to see a guy like him sitting. You know?
Yeah. No, 100%. And, again, like, being honest with what coaches are there to do is to get guys to maximize their performance. I guess we'll see, you know,
like
how he responds 5 games, 10 games in on this scratching. Because ultimately, that's what it's designed to do, right? It's
right.
to spark this guy individually, and then hopefully he can be more of an impact on the team. But only time will tell. You know, some guys respond to that.
Yes.
Some guys don't.
And some guys don't.
We land up having a conversation with Ryan Malone this morning.
Yep.
And we land up talking with Torts and talking about Vinny LeCavalier, which he was the whipping boy back on the Tampa Bay Stanley Cup team.
Right.
Land up scoring 50 goals and they won a cup. So, and Vinny hated him.
Yes.
However, it converted into performance, and, you know, whether that was, you know, his squeeze on him that was generating that type of performance, or it was, you know, a combination of obviously his skill and some of his line mates there. But I guess where I'm going with it is that these types of things can have a profound effect on guys' performance.
Yes.
If they take it the right way.
If they take it the right way.
You know, a little bit different situation with the Flyers versus that Tampa Bay Lightning team.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it is a strategy that not just Torts uses. I mean, obviously every other coach on the planet has used these types of strategies before. We'll see how they play out. I mean, it's one of those things that it needs to translate. Otherwise, it was kind of, you know, just a random flex just to prove a point. Because you can go down the list. I mean, he's not the only guy that's swinging away. And that's,
right.
You know,
no,
that's
sure,
got holes in his game. Obviously, I mean, we all do. All those guys have some sort of thing they can work on to be better, especially when the team's not winning. You can make an example of pretty much anyone. So.
Right.
It's just got to convert. These guys got to understand the message, obviously starting with Hazy, and then, you know, everyone else is looking around and seeing it. So it could be them next game. Everyone knows that. Winning cures all. And then there's still guys getting scratched even when you do win, right? So
yeah.
We'll see. But, you know, pretty significant flex in my opinion, especially when you talk about a team that's lacking in goal production.
Yes.
And, you know, we've seen this before with other, you know, elite players.
Yes.
That, whether it's just being benched in the third period or pulled out of the lineup just to get them back on the path, it's a strategy that's been always a part of the game. So
yeah, for sure,
nothing new. What are your thoughts on shortening up the preseason and going to 84 games?
That's, I always, as an equipment guy, didn't like preseason because it seemed like we would play 3 games back to back, and that means literally no sleep because it'd be in New York at home, then somewhere else, or you know, vice versa. But I think it's okay. Carter Hart proved you don't need any preseason,
no preseason
this year.
Games. We'll go 86 games.
Yeah, exactly. 84, I am kind of shocked that they would make more hockey games, more real games at 84, but I guess it is what it is. But
yeah. If you're trimming the preseason games down,
guess,
you know, maybe 50%, I mean, you can.
Is
easily,
that how much they said, 50%?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what are they playing now, 8?
Yeah, 8 to 9. I guess it's up to the team.
So,
right?
if you guys are only playing half those games, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so if you trim that in half, you're not exposing the guys for, you know, 2 extra games. Why can't we squeeze in 2 extra games?
Yeah.
And, you know, as a team goes, as a league goes, you're generating more revenue,
right,
more meaningful games than the preseason games.
Yeah,
that's just my opinion, but you know, we'll see where it goes. But I think 8-9 preseason games gets lengthy.
Man.
It
it's
wears on the guys, and there seems to be more injuries too. You know,
yes,
guys are, you know, just trying extra hard, and they're not, you know, fully ready to rock, maybe, and whatnot. But no, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. I'm not sure how that really affects the game itself, besides maybe revenue.
Right.
Two more meaningful games, one more home game per team.
Yeah.
Right. So, and then getting into, you know, approaching the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that?
I mean, I know the Flyers probably won't get to, but like TK to me is having a year, 14 goals, 14 assists, I think. 28
point a game.
Yeah, he's a point a game. And, you know, you were saying Carter Hart, obviously, the year he's had.
Yeah. I mean, I think either or. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, how that looks as far as squeezing in a goaltender. Obviously, there's only two, but.
Right.
Certainly those two guys top our list as far as potential candidates.
Yeah.
But I do agree, it's not going to be both of them.
It's probably not going to be both.
Just knowing how the season's been going. But, yeah, we'll see. You know, wish them both the best.
Yeah.
Keep see performing, and that'll sort itself out.
Yeah, and Riggs in the East here, Boston, 17-0-2 at home. They've not been beat in regulation
yet.
It's
crazy.
They've lost two games, but they haven't been beat in regulation. It's insane.
Yeah.
17-0-2. I know. It's crazy. And they're kind of doing it by committee, too. We were looking at their stats. You know, a lot of guys right there with the same amount of points, with the exception of Pasta, which we're hearing he's coming.
Don't start rumors, Nast.
I know.
Yeah, right. Straight up.
But, you know, They're just having a great season. Jimmy Montgomery, our buddy, we talked about it. Just keep saying the same thing every week because they just keep winning.
Just keep proving.
And Pittsburgh, they've been rolling. They're 8-1-1 in their last 10. Sid's numbers, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, I know we talked about that, you know, but
he keeps performing.
He does. He does. I mean, 42 points in 32 games, man. It's wild.
Yeah.
The age of 35 and doesn't seem to be slowing down too much.
No. No, you know, just on that, just the leadership, obviously, right?
Yes.
And when he's going and performing, not that he's ever really taken a real drought, you know, performance-wise, but, you know, lead by example. You're scoring in, you know, 8-1-1 in the last 10.
Yeah, 8-1-1 in the last 10.
It's, you know, it's a reflection of, obviously, his leadership and his point production. So
yeah,
we'll see how that continues to go, but, you know, again, elite players, leading by example,
yeah,
putting
sure.
up the numbers. What else you got, Nest?
Carolina's on a bit of a heater. They've won six straight. Rod DeBod's got them going a little bit. They're
some
a fun
guy.
Team
Yeah,
to watch,
I was going
to
say, they got
like
some high-skill guys there that can.
I like how they play, man.
Yeah.
On the other side of that, the Devils have slowed down. They've lost six in a row.
Yeah, which is kind of surprising, but I guess every team kind of goes through
young,
their own.
Kind of, right?
Yeah,
like, so maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know about their goaltending. I haven't, I didn't get to see many of their games this year. I saw the one against the Flyers, but, you know, they're still a fun team to watch. They're skilled, you know,
got
a lot of young, skilled guys. They've been fun to watch, but they've dropped six in a row here, so keep an eye on them.
Yep, absolutely. And anything else you got going on, Nest?
That's about it.
No?
Yeah,
you're taking care of the frosty tips under there?
I don't have any frosty tips. You know that. You just get jealous because I get on you about the manzy, the man bun, and you wish I had frosties. I don't have frosty tips. I don't
have
frosty
bangs.
Tips.
You got nice bangs.
Yeah, I do have nice bangs.
And then we're, say, rapidly approaching mid-February.
Yes.
Is the Philly trip.
Can't wait. You've never been to Seattle.
I've never been. Oh, I've been there, but not as as a visitor for an NHL hockey game. No,
I haven't either.
The building,
I've never been to Seattle, so I'm never. Really
okay,
looking
right.
forward to it. Yeah, and then you know, from there we're taking it to the Roxy.
Oh yeah, straight to the
taking
Roxy.
It to
not
the
even
Roxy,
to go
the
to the
van.
Game.
Can't wait. Will Bruce Boudreaux still be there?
Bruce, there it is.
We gotta ask Debo.
Bruce, there he's not.
Debo's the van.
Not sure.
You don't have
it's all performance driven, Nast.
You're the insider.
Keep
you're
dropping games. There's probably a good chance he won't be.
Oh man.
But looking forward to that. Check out fansofphilly.com.
Yes.
And then I think we're ready to rock here, Nast. Special episode.
Special epi.
2022 highlights. Christmas special.
Christmas special.
Episode 98. Creeping on 100. Look at those socks, Nast.
My lights. My Christmas light socks. Have a look at that.
I like those. Very festive.
These little things?
Very festive, Nest.
Yes.
All right, Nast. Episode 98 presented to you by Curaleaf. Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a long-time patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Got questions? Google Curaleaf PA or stop by one of their 18 locations across the Commonwealth or visit curaleaf.com/locations.
Do it.
Let's go, Nast.
One of my favorite guys ever to wear the orange and black. He wasn't here long enough, but he was here. Great guy, number 22, Hollywood, a superstar, Ville Leino. What's up, Ville?
Thank you for having me, guys. Fucking, it's great to be here.
It's awesome to have you, man. I miss you, buddy. I wish you didn't live all the way across the pond because I never get to see you, but it's great to have you here, man.
Yeah, good to be here. It's always great to come to Philly, too, and I like it here so much.
So what were your thoughts when you landed up getting shipped to Philly?
Well, the initial thing was, like, obviously I loved Detroit and, you know, just being here for 2 years. And you were kind of nervous what's going to happen now. But obviously I knew a little bit about Philly and it's a good team. And Kimo was here and I felt pretty good about it. But to tell you the truth, I didn't know what to expect, really. But soon enough I met the guys and everybody was so nice, like, everybody I got in right away, and I really loved the room.
You fit in immediately. I don't think you'd have a problem fitting in anywhere, but with your personality. But
I think this was like, you're always nervous around, but it was so, the atmosphere was so relaxed and loose, like, which I didn't get used to in Detroit because it was Babs and it was very strict, and like, it was fun. People were like, the players were fun. It was a good team, but the atmosphere wasn't like that. It was like serious business. You know what I mean? Like, if you miss a pass in practice, you'd be like blowing the whistle and like embarrassing you in front of the team or whatever. But here I started, and Hartz is like giving shit to Lavi in front of everyone, and he's explaining practice. I'm like, what is this to me? You know? So I didn't get to play at the start as much because Philly was Flyers was fighting for the playoff, and I kind of wore in and I was out, and it was like, all right, not great, but it was all right. But I think Lavi didn't want to change things too much, and he kind of stick with his horses unless something happened. But it was kind of weird, and I was waiting, let's see what happened. And the playoff game, and Karchi got hurt.
Yeah.
And then I got my chance with Danny Breer and Hartsey, and after Jersey series, everything just clicked right away.
Man. It was amazing.
And it was beautiful. After that time, everything went so well. That was my dream hockey career, like time of hockey, like those from that playoff to the end of next season. It was so much fun, no stress. Teams were winning. We had a great group of guys, great staff. And obviously everybody's even more happy when you're winning. Like, there's no bad vibes at all.
You're right, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's the vibe was amazing, and obviously great group of people that I still, when I see them, it's like a reunion, right? So it was just the best thing that happened to me.
Well, I'll tell you this, Ville, it's right. Like, it was not funny. You weren't playing. We get you, and nothing against OKT, but like, that's a very lopsided trade in the end. You know, Tolson, he was a great guy.
Yeah,
but poor guy had bad knees. Like, he's had a type of great guy. But anyway, you come in, and just for the record, so you know, I did go in. Karchi got hit with a shot, broke his foot. They were going to go with someone else, and I went right in the lobby, and I said, no, we're going to go Ville. We're going to put Ville in now. I've watched this guy play two pass with Cote. He's making him look like an all-star.
Yeah, right.
So if he can make Riles score all these goals, But the thing that was amazing, and it still is to me, and we've talked about this, is the chemistry, you and Danny, and Hartsey too.
Yeah.
But you and Danny, two really skilled. You guys just read off. It was like, you know, you weren't here very long.
Right.
The way you guys just, it was almost like once, like you said, after that one series, when you guys started clicking, I mean, it was like every shift.
Oh, yeah.
It was like you guys were getting changed. Yeah. You were the number one line. Like, you guys were...
Yeah.
Everything was happening.
100%.
And the team, you know, we've talked about this, too. If you look back, like, it's amazing we barely made the playoffs with that team.
Yeah.
It was a good fucking team.
It was. 100%. It was. You don't get those that often.
Like, Claude Giroux, and I know he's a kid, but he's your third-line center.
Right, right, with Reimer.
And Ash, right? Ash, you know, a little toughness on there, so to protect those two, but, like... But back to you guys, that chemistry was amazing. It really was.
Well, so one of these times you get lucky to play with guys that, like me and Danny, we thought about the hockey exact same way. But Danny, he was such a good scorer, and he could obviously make plays. But he could, like, every time I knew I'd get him the puck, I'd be, like, raising my hands up, you know. Right. And Hartsy, which was kind of struggling at that time before playoff, he gave us room. He was good in front, and he's good winning the battles, getting us the puck. Like, even with Hartsy, it was a great combo because, like, everybody had a great role. They fit into their roles, and there was this great chemistry that you don't really get that often, and you obviously wish you'd have that somewhere else too. But and also, like, the my spot in the team was, like, there wasn't too many players like me, like skilled players. So, and it was rough, obviously. Good old Broad Street Bullies. There was a lot of fights and a lot of hitting and all that stuff. So that kind of gave me room too, which in Detroit, everybody was kind of skilled. So they were kind of stacked and guys were trying to hit Detroit a lot because they had no one really to hit back.
Yeah, that's
so true.
Vili, you set a record an NHL record for points by a rookie. Now, the funny thing was, when that was announced, Lou Nolan announces it over the thing, and then standing O, which you deserved. And so Billy's just kind of like saying thanks to the crowd, and I'm standing, you know, I'm standing beside Lavi because my shoulder's still banged up. I've had two surgeries from him elbowing me after big goals and shit. But you're like standing up and saying thank you, and the place is going nuts, and he says, What just happened? I'm like, well, Vili just set the rookie record for points in playoffs. And he goes, rookie record? What's he? I thought he was like 30.
I almost were.
But it was just funny. You know, he was just like right in the middle of the game. Isn't he like 30 or something?
Yeah, that's a weird coincidence. Like 2 years kind of played in the league or not up and down.
Right.
Or a year. Right? A year and a half. But just enough. Not enough games. And then, like, crazy.
I think I told you that after game, I was dying.
You're going to break that record, doing a rookie record on 28. Stuff. But it was kind of lucky, too. Like, it's weird.
Yeah. Well, it's still holding. I think Jake Guentzel tied it. You got three guys tied for it, but it's still pretty amazing. Doesn't matter how old you are.
First round draft pick from the Philadelphia Flyers, 2018. Mr. Joel Farabee, young Beezer in the cut, as Hazy calls you. What's up, brother?
What's up? Thanks for having me, guys.
I know one thing. I want to see last summer at Check It for Charity. Joel played on one of the teams.
Oh, yeah, right?
Me and Riles played in that tournament. Oh, we weren't in your league, though.
We were in the C League.
we were probably a C League. But actually, Danny Briere was in ours. New assistant GM. Champion. Congrats again.
Yeah.
Beezer came down. I was up in the loft and watching, and he gets a breakaway. I actually had it on video. I got it from the live stream, thing is. But he did the cooch. He did the Kucherov, and I was like, oh, shit. I got to see that in the game. You got to do that in the game at some point, man. Easier said than done, right? Lots has been good at that going five hole. He scored a lot.
Paralyzer.
Yeah. That's what we call him. The paralyzer.
He's the paralyzer.
I love it, man. That's great.
He does that move. Yeah, he fakes the forehand, backhand, five hole.
Yeah.
AP and Vinny, the video guys, they're always like, the paralyzer.
The paralyzer. The paralyzer. I can see him.
Oh, that's
get
so
all
great.
Excited.
Yeah, launch his old man would be losing it.
Oh, paralyzer.
Paralyzer.
Where did that come from? Is that a lot? Is that
AV.
A lot
did AV? And, I mean, AV. I don't, did I, AP and
I think, Vin? Yeah, AP
oh, they,
and Vinny.
They did.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I remember when I first got hurt this year.
That's great.
Like, one of my first games out, he did it, and we were all in the video room going nuts. We're like, the paralyzer, like going crazy.
That's awesome, man.
Every time he gets a breakaway, I'm always yelling
you're,
it on the bench.
You're yelling it?
Come on.
that's awesome. Yeah, he's good at that. One of my favorite players ever. Very animated, very funny and very honest. Australia Brizgalov. Briz, what is up?
Not much. Thanks for inviting me, guys. I'm happy to be here, and I hope we have some lots of fun.
You remember you had a three-game shutout streak.
Oh, yeah. It's a steal. I'm probably still on that.
You're right there. But I want to know if you remember how that started. Well, I can't.
I have no idea.
Okay. So
ultra prepared over here.
So, I got to tell this. So you and I used to watch highlights of hockey before the game for about 10 minutes, usually on my computer there. And then one day you were in there. I had to go do something. So I came back in, and I usually would jump up on the seat or up on the desk, and we would just talk a little bit. But I came up behind you, and I'd give you a little whoop like this, and you would, ooh, you laughed, and you like, whatever. And so I'm like, what?
Did you broke my rib in that
time? You said I tickled you, but listen. Oh. So wait, I can't believe you don't remember this. So I give you a little, like, just right here on the side, you're like, ooh, like, and I went, whoa, what was that? And you're like, oh, you tickled me. And I'm like, whatever. You get a shutout.
Okay.
Okay? Next game. I come in, and I'm not even thinking, and I jump up on the seat, and you're looking at me, you're watching highlights, and you look at me, you're like, do it again. I'm like, what? Do what again? And you're like, you know, tickle me. And someone was in the room. I just don't remember.
So
I'm like, what do you mean? And you go, oh, last game, and we get shut out, and I'm like, oh, fuck, all right. So I did it again. And I remember someone being in there going, what are you two doing? You're like, don't worry about it.
Tickling Briz over here. You're getting them going.
If it works, that's
my point. But it was just funny. I've told these guys before, man, I just used to love. Yeah, a lot of time you come fuck with me, but like I love talking to you just because you're, like I said in the beginning, you're honest. And I just, you made me laugh every day, which is awesome. But I don't know if you remember this too. I got to tell this because we're laughing about it. Do you remember, like, there was a little stretch of time, you'd come sit in my office in the mornings, and I'm like, maybe I'm on the phone with a rap or something. You would just be talking, and I'm like, Briz, I can't hear both of you. Hang on. You're like, no, it's not important. You're acting like, you know, you're telling me you're acting like you're on the phone. So then you went down the hallway the one day, and I hear you yelling my name. You're like, Nastya, you're yelling down the hallway. And I'm like, hang on, bud, I'm on the phone. And I can see you're standing there in your full gear. And you're like, kept yelling my name. So I said, hang on. I put the phone down. And I'm like, what's up? You're like, come here. And I'm like, all right. So I run down. And you go, do I look big today? And I said, you look huge. And you go, okay, thank you. And you turn and walk away. And the guys are just loving it. They're losing.
Just
laughing.
Boosting the confidence up a little bit.
He's like, I get down there, and I think it's something like
yeah,
major.
Important, yeah.
And he's like, do I look big today? And I'm like, you look huge, Briz. No one's going to score on you in practice. Don't worry. And he's like, okay. And turns and walks away.
It's nobody did, right?
No, exactly. But, oh, man.
It was not a case in the next night game.
No, man. I tell you, I just love.
I was shrinked.
Things like that just always stick out, man. It was so much fun, man. I tell you.
Yeah, I guess in that night you was not there to pump my ego, you know.
Yeah. I always tried, brother.
It's a movie like Hero 6, you know. This is like you watch it, you know, like a Michelin guy, you know. Yeah.
I do have to ask you. I don't think you ever told me, and I don't even know if I ever asked you. I think I know. Is Nastya, you call me a Natalie or something in Russian?
No,
is it a woman?
Nastya, it's kind of a short for Anastasia.
Oh, Anastasia. Okay. Because you had dogs call me that.
Yeah, it's only two people who calls you Nastya. Me and Yags.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because Americans and Canadians don't get that thing.
I wasn't sure understand. Either. I thought you were calling me Natalie, and I'm just like, whatever, man. I thought you were just busting my chops. I wasn't sure what it was.
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Yaromir, because he plays in Russia a lot, he knows that name very well, you know.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Talk about your couple years in Philly. I mean, again, we kind of alluded to it at the start, coming from Phoenix. Philly, you know, old school market. Philly media. I mean, overall experience in Philly, and then dealing with the media, because you're a lighthearted guy. I feel like you're always joking, And then sometimes you're forced to kind of call them out on their shit, right? They're misrepresenting storylines and, you know, being honest, right?
It's just 95% of my life.
Well, you know what? It's funny what you said a minute ago. You said it a minute ago. I love when they write things or just anybody in general. You're not even in the room. You have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And they just act like they've been told something. But anyway.
You know, there was in Phoenix. There was a, you know, you, that is just a journalist, but these sweet guys, did they ask me the question, said, Breeze, what's the, for example, what's the, how much miles on the speedometer of your Aston Martin, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, it's, I guess it's 220. They're like, oh, geez, you know what I mean? They was nice. They did not try to pick you, you know, they asked like a straight direct kind of a hockey questions. They're not trying to ambush you or, right. or create something that was not exist, you know, like it's simple questions, simple answers, you know, and you have a good relationship. They ask you to answer, you answer it, you know, like here when I came here, it was different. And Sean Bourque, he warned me, said, like, Breeze, where are you going?
What are you doing? Saying that, someone told you, you're going to hell or something like that.
He's like, what are you doing? I played there, said, like, don't go there. They're just bananas. Think like, no, I play in Anaheim. I play in Phoenix, you know, like, people's same everywhere, I guess. You know what I mean? What can be wrong out there? He's like, okay.
You're not turning down a 9-year deal either, right?
Yeah.
Has a little bit to do with it.
It is. You know, I can get a little bit less in Phoenix and continue in a good path. You know, like great weather, you know, no pressure and no chance to win.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Right. But I choose the different paths. It's like, okay, yes, these guys was in a Stanley Cup final year before. Mm-hmm. They lost it badly this year because of they have issues with the goaltending. I think I can go there and help them. And when they come up with a good offer, I said, like, okay, you know. But my main object was like, I want to go out there and play for the competitive team, and I want to win the Stanley Cup. This was my goal. And when I came here, like, okay. But I didn't expect, you know, like, how do I say that right? I didn't expect, like, the media will start create some animosity around, you know what I mean? Like, they, for example, they come up with some like, oh, why you slept in on a meeting? What are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
You was not even there, you know, like.
Yeah, right. How does that even come up?
Yeah, like meeting was 2 minutes, you know, like, it was quickly, like, Lavi was walking in and says, like, okay, there was like bad night last night, guys, whatever, you know, like, we gotta be better, come back. I have no, like, you don't know how to respond. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, do you sleep in a meeting? You're like, whoa, hold on. Like, whoa, what's going on? Who's sleeping? Like, what's going on? And the problem was, I think, just not only the media, management, they was not letting me be myself.
Right.
Whatever I would say in the media, they always kind of been displeased. You know what I mean? It's like was a when they not put me in a outdoor game.
Oh yeah.
And I said like, okay, there was I have a tough couple games, and they asked me like, do you play tomorrow? I said, no, I'm not playing. You have a team have a chance to win, you know. I didn't say anything wrong, you know,
like, right?
Yeah, I remember. I'm couple games, like I play not very well, you know, I'm not happy with my performance. I'm not happy where am I right now. Yeah, Bob, he played well last game. Team have a chance to win. It is sucks. I want to play that game.
Yeah.
Obviously, I want to play that game.
Of course.
Do I pissed off I'm not playing? Of course I am pissed off I'm not playing. And this is where it all starts. Jeff Rees came to me and said, like, why did you say that? I'm like, what do you mean? What I say? And media, you're not playing tomorrow. We told you not to tell anyone. Said that. Whoa. This is the first time you came to me and said, don't tell anyone you're not playing tomorrow. No, I thought I'm telling you. You know, like,
yeah.
Oh,
that's like, it was amazing. Like, nobody wants to take the responsibility for anything.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay. I'm like, Homer calls to me and said, like, you can say this, you can say this. I said, like, oh, okay, keep them away from me. Like, if you don't like what I'm saying,
yeah,
stay strict to the hockey. They ask me hockey question and answer the hockey question. How am I supposed to know what's going to please you?
Yeah, right.
Right, yeah.
They ask me the question, I give them an honest answer. Sorry for my honesty. What can I do? Okay, there was another case. Was it like we have a back-to-back with New Jersey, you know, like, and it was, it was in the second season. Yeah, I said to the media, we're going to Jersey and we're playing home game. If we're not going to win them both, we're going to miss the playoff, you know. And I said that to the media. And again, called me and said, like, why are you saying this? You can say this. Said that this is, I want to make the playoff. I want to compete for the, like, and we playing like a trash. That is a message I sent to all the teammates, not only myself, you know, to everyone. Guys, to be in alert, to be in alert, because we got to win these games. This is like do or die for us. Not just like, maybe it's count the points after that, if they're going to lose and we're going to win. No, we have to keep the faith in our hands and we have to be accountable. We go out there and play hard and win the games. Oh, we're in the business here, home and sell, you know, we got to sell the tickets. You said, like, we're not going to make the playoffs, people not going to be attend the stadium. This is where we think differently, you know. I don't care if they're going to attend or not. If we're going to win these games, they're going to attend matter what.
Yeah, that's
100%.
That's true.
If we're going to lose, they're not going to attend. They want to see the product. They want to see the passion on the ice. Yeah. They want to see the winning team out there.
That's exactly.
I'm not just like, oh, we lost. We're not going to make it. Let's count the points. If they lose there, we're going to win there. And maybe there, it's going to be good. And maybe they're going to fill the stadium. This is not how it works.
How much do you think it was, like, management saying that to you because they knew that the media was going to take what you said out of context or spin it? Like, it was almost like they're protecting you, like, to just don't say anything at all? Or do you think it was more like, just like, we don't want Briz talking because he's too honest?
Maybe, but you have a choice to keep them away from me.
Right.
Because you guys said, they always request, oh, we want this player, this and that and that. Said, okay, but you got a this and that player for the talking today. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you can give them.
Well, your name was always on the board.
Always on the board. They knew they were going to get some gold. Yeah.
Because for people that don't know, when you come off after a game, the PR, Zach Hill, would always, you guys were requested, and it would be like 4 to 5 guys.
Yeah.
Now, other guys could get interviewed, but they didn't have to stay in the room for the media. But you guys did. I mean, you were on the board every night.
The organization. You got to understand, too. This is my personality. I'm an honest person. I'm speaking of my mind. You know what I mean? It's not in my nature. I can't lie.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I can say, like, we'll be better tomorrow. We're not really well. And, like, hey, if we shed the bed, we shed the bed.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Because because everybody saw that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's not hard to see.
Yeah,
if you have a bad game, it's a bad game.
Everybody saw that and, like, okay, this is it. Again, what we can do, again, back to in our conversation in the beginning, you know, like, okay, forget about, learn mistakes. Mm-hmm. And guys, we got to do everything as possible tomorrow to win. And is a organization, as you can see, this is the do harm to me, to the organization in the media standpoint. I don't think so, because there's a, I think when I was there, there's a flyers was mentioned everywhere. You know, yeah, again, add the value to the franchise.
Right.
Right now, it's just, okay, when we have something like a bad game or something going on, brewing something not very well, just don't give him my name. Don't give me to the media for the couple of days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Say, like, he's not that's available today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right. Tomorrow he's not available. Everything settled down. Something's new come up. Okay, now you can talk.
Yes.
You know, yeah. It's not like, guys, you know, we're not going to treat you every day. You know, you want a treat, you got to earn it, okay? He's going to be available for you.
Right, yeah.
You could have pulled the Marshawn Lynch. You know, I'm only here. I'm only here so I don't get fined.
You got to, yes, like, for example, twice a week. no more, you know what I mean?
Right.
But you had such good sound bites most of the time, when it was, you know, when it wasn't something stupid that they were saying.
We have 23 other players to talk
That's
about.
That's true. Right. Yeah.
Sorry for the quick break. Just a quick shout out to our sponsor, DLI Commercial, a premier commercial construction and building maintenance company offering support at every phase. Thank you for your support. Check them out at DLI Commercial for all your construction needs. Back to the show.
We are so happy to have our second Western Michigan alumni in a row, actually.
Oh, yeah.
The legend. Keith Jones. What's up, brother?
Who'd you have before me? Wade Allison?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's a good kid, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he is.
He's awesome.
I like him. I like him. We got to keep him healthy.
That's right. That's exactly what we talked about.
Yeah. He's got a lot of potential, man. He's a good kid. He loves the game.
Yes, like, he does.
Just exudes that. And I love to see the enthusiasm he has to play. So 100%. Hopefully he has a big year. We had many fights, Terry Murray and I.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because I fought for things like... And I think I know Terry would laugh about it now because I got to know him when he was in a different way when he was assistant with the Flyers
right.
And I was doing the TV. So, but we had many battles, a lot of fights, and one of them in particular. It's also amazing to me when I think back to it. We were in Anaheim, and it was about 12 games into my second season in the league. Okay, I was making like $150,000. I thought I was rich. Like I thought that I had no idea, you know, how wealthy people really are. And I thought, this is it. I've got money. I can do whatever. And I was just like, so anyway, I had played the first three games, scored a goal in my third game, got sat out the next game. So I'm as a player, you produce, you think you're doing things right, you should keep playing. Now, I probably wasn't doing things I should be. So I sat out, played the next three games, scored in the third one, got sat out again. Now we played three more. I score in Vancouver. So we're going to Anaheim. We fly to Anaheim. We all go to dinner at the White House restaurant in Anaheim, the whole team. And Randy Burridge is on the team. He's a great player. The great needler, like he's on, right? He's going, Terry Murray's got your jersey on his wife tonight, and you're getting it, you're coming out of the lineup. He's telling me at dinner, and I'm like, no, I'm not. And I'm pissed about it. Like, I'm like, this guy's like, I was really getting mad at Stumpy. So all the other guys were piling on, and sure enough, I go to the rink the next day. We're doing the morning skate, and you know, you get that conversation with the coach near the end of practice the morning skate, where he comes over and goes, hey, hey Jonesy, you're not playing tonight, get a skate in. I hated that skate. Like, nobody wants to be the guy that's not playing,
right?
Because you get buried physically.
And I'm
also really upset because this, you know, Randy Burge in front of all the guys on the team's giving it to me so bad. So I said, loud as can be at the rink there in Anaheim, you know, F you. Like, it's right as loud as can be. Everyone stops. Everybody stops. Second year player making $150,000 a year. And I just told the coach in no uncertain terms. Everybody heard it. And he said, Terry goes, what? What did you say? And I said it again. And he goes, what's wrong with you? You know, and so we get in this argument on the ice. Everybody leaves. The entire Capitals team, that'd be the 93 team, leaves. Rod Langway's last road trip ever was on this trip.
Wow. Yep.
They all leave. So Terry and I stay on the ice, and we're going back and forth about it. And I'm telling him, like, he realized how badly I wanted it, and eventually we got to the heart of what had happened, you know, with the guys giving it to me. And he started, and he goes, well, and in the middle of it, he kind of said, well, I made a mistake. The fact that I wanted to play that badly, I think so I go, well, go tell the guys that I'm back in. He goes, I can't do that, right? So we go back and forth, and I would obviously never do the things that I did then. But in retrospect, again, it did enable me to, you know, stand up for myself and try to get back into a position where I was back in the lineup. So I did tell him, I said, I'm not coming to the game tonight to watch us beat this expansion team. And it was their first, the Ducks' first year, right. Mighty Ducks at that time, right? Yeah. He goes, you got to come to the game. I go, all right, but I'm going to sit up in that restaurant. I'm going to have my dinner and watch the game. I'm not coming near the room. He kind of shook his head and laughed about it. But that's what I did. I watched the game upstairs. We won. I think Burridge had a hat trick, too.
Like, it was
hilarious. And then I goes back in the lineup the next night against San Jose, scored a goal. I never came out of the lineup after that for years. But
awesome,
that's kind of crazy, some of the things that happened that you look back on, and kind of lucky that I was able to back it up with my play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you're taking a big chance.
Oh, yeah.
Never do it in my post-playing career. I've never liked that with people that I work for.
Right.
But when I was playing, it was like, all right, let's see where this ends up.
Yeah, that's hilarious. You seem to have like a knack for pushing coaches' buttons.
When you played.
I mean, I was hopeful that you were going to say that Terry Murray's going to put you back in the lineup every time the fuck off. But,
no.
Yeah, but at least you got back in the next game.
Yeah.
But there's a story about you and Jim Schoenfeld.
There was a few, probably. We had a lot of battles, Shoney and I, too. And if I saw him today, I'd give him the biggest hug.
Yeah.
He was great for me. I would compare him a lot to John Tortorella.
Okay.
I mean, he knew what buttons to push. There's no doubt. And I pushed back.
Yeah, right.
We had some crazy arguments. And I can think of one in particular. I think I went like probably the longest time of my career without scoring. I think it was like, I want to say 13 games or so. And the team was losing some games. And he comes up to me. I'm late. We just got finished practice where he buried us because we're losing. And that was, you know, that was typical back in those days. If you weren't being productive on the ice, you're going to skate. You know, it wasn't, I don't know if it worked or not, but it sure did. The fear factor
made
you play games that you might not have felt like you needed to push through. And he was pushing us. So I was laying on the ice. I'm doing like snow angels, you know. At the
Jeez.
And I'm looking and counting like the lights on the ceiling of the arena there in Washington, at Piney Orchard, the practice rink. And here he comes, you know, and he's leaning over. He's a physical specimen. Like, he worked out hard.
Man.
Like, he's one of those coaches that was in the gym more than some of the players, right?
Yeah, right.
And he's looking down at me, and, you know, we've already had many encounters before this. And he says, what's wrong with you? You know, and I'm like, I'm exhausted. You know, you're killing us. And he goes, hold on. Everybody in. So I'm like sitting there, and I get back up, and he calls the whole team in. He's like,
no.
Hey, Jonesy's tired, guys. So he goes, we're going to take, this one is a true story. He goes, we're going to take it easy in practice the next couple days, and we'll see how you guys do in the games, right? I'm like, yeah, good. That's a good idea. That's great. So I leave the rink, come back. We play the next night. We lose. I get no goals. We practice the next day nice and easy. Play the next night, lose. Okay,
no.
I'm like, that's all right. We'll come out of it. That's what I'm thinking to myself, right? Yeah. So now we have a game in Tampa. It's like a Saturday or Sunday afternoon. And I just remember walking in the rink. It was that one huge arena. I can't even remember what it was.
Was it the baseball stadium?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I forget the name of it. So I got my head down. You know, you're not scoring, so you're upset about that, right? The team's not winning. You're upset about that. As a player, you're probably more upset that you're not scoring because it's a regular season.
Right.
So I walk in, and here he is waiting for me, right? He goes, hey, come on in my office. You know, I go, here we go. I got one of those blue undershirts on, you know, we used to wear.
Little Stanfields.
Yeah, right.
I got that on. I'm in my, like, long underwear, and I'm just like, where's this one going, right? So he goes, you be me. He goes, sit down. He goes, you be me and I'll be you. And I'm like,
oh, no. Role play.
Oh, yeah, it was the best. And he goes, my hands hurt. I don't feel good. I'm exhausted, you know, like this. And it was so, it's funny when I think back at it. But so, and then that's my turn to be him, right? And Shoney loved to give you the fist pump. He was ahead of his time in the germs, right? Like he was like,
yeah.
He wasn't a handshaker, he was a fist pumper. So I said, don't worry about it, son. You'll come out of it like that, right? Like give him the old fist pump. He goes, get the F out of here. Yeah. And, he wasn't done with it though. It was like he went right everybody in, you know, out of the office. And I literally got these like huge donut sweats in my armpits and everything. And he proceeds to like just bury me to the rest of the team. He's Jonesy said, you know, all this. And we just kind of moved past it eventually. But had a lot of those. We had a lot of those. And I say this with great respect to him. If I didn't have those with him, I never would have advanced to be, you know, a guy that was playing with top line players. He actually got me started in that type of role, playing with Pavanka and Bondra in Washington, and then Juno and Konowalczyk there as well. And then when I was traded to Colorado, I was ready to play with guys like Sakic or Forsberg, and take advantage of those opportunities and be a good complementary player to top line players. So I learned some valuable lessons.
We are absolutely jacked to have our guest. Welcome home, brother, Mr. Tony D'Angelo. What's up, bro?
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, too. Excited to be home.
Yes, I can imagine, man. It's awesome. We were totally pumped when the moves happened and you end up signing. So happy to have you, brother. Your style of game, Flyers really need it.
And you grew up a lifelong Flyers fan. Who was your guy growing up?
Believe it or not, I was actually on the other podcast yesterday, and they said, who did you like as a player? You know Hunter Brody, you guys know Hunter Brody.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I said, Chris Pronger. I said, we don't play anything alike. Like, we're totally different. I said, but I love Pronger. But my favorite player of them all, I was a big JR fan for a while. I was always a Flyer. Like, you know, my buddies, we go to, I remember we would be at practice, and everybody's favorite player to wear a number, like Crosby. We got guys from Jersey wearing Crosby, and they got guys from here wearing, you know, Bergeron or whatever it is. I only Flyers.
Yeah.
So I don't give a shit about any of the other teams. Yeah. My Flyers, whoever's we got. But Peter Forsberg and Mike Richards.
Oh, yes. Oh,
damn.
Yeah. Mike Richards, I loved the way he played.
Sure.
And that was a Flyer, in my opinion.
Oh, 100%.
And he fought, and he hit, and he was nasty, and he was great. Great with the puck. Yep. He scored, he killed penalties, he played on the power play.
Yep.
I loved him.
Yep.
I loved Mike Richards. But Forsberg's game, I loved. I mean, and he was a little nasty, too. Like, he would throw out reverse check.
Yeah, reverse check.
We talked about that.
He wasn't going to fight or anything, which I didn't care about, but he played hard. Like, he played like
sure
a
he did.
Away. Got big defensive coming to hit him. He put his shoulder right in their jaw, you know, and they're thinking they're going to throw the hit, and then they get hit. And him and Gagne together,
yeah,
it was
great. Yeah.
I loved them two guys. But
what amazing vision he had.
Oh, he was great. God. I mean, when he came that one year, I don't know how many goals Gagne scored. He had to score high 30s or 40s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he definitely was.
But, no, those two guys were, I loved them two guys. Like, Richards was, he was great.
Yeah.
I loved him. So that was kind of my, and then when they went to the Cup, I was like 14 or 15.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like 2010. My wheelhouse of, watching.
That was the playoff round against Montreal, the shift.
The shift.
Yeah,
my favorite goal ever.
I log on YouTube sometimes, and I don't just even know why it comes up. I feel like my phone or computer like listens to me.
Oh, it definitely does.
I'm like typing in the shift, and it'll come up like videos you might like, and it's like the shift, Mike Richards.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't looked at any of this stuff, and here's Mike, and then I watch it.
Yeah.
And then it keeps coming up.
It's hard not
to
watch it.
Yeah, man.
Insane shit. Well, he had the first pass they could have scored, and he comes back down and hits another guy. It was
insane.
It was great. Yeah.
I love Richie. I obviously played with Richie. That year you're talking about was my last year, and what an epic leader.
Jesus.
And just all around guy. I mean, talk about like doing everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a grunt.
That's what
worker,
I think a hockey player is. He was a hockey player.
Like, he was a hockey player.
Especially Philly fans, like that's what they think a hockey player is.
Yeah. Yes,
you
exactly.
Know, that's what it was. So that's why I was such a big fan. Like
in
my family, like my dad and stuff, and they grew up, my cousins, you know, they grew up, they were watching the Bullies, Broad Street Bullies. So like their version of a hockey player was always that. Like, you had to have that in if you're a hockey player.
For sure.
That's what they thought. And that's just the mentality of the city, and that's the mentality of like our people and our fans and stuff. So that was my kind of guys. I loved all of them.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny now, Rick Bone, Richie, we call him Rick Bone, he's goalie in men's league now.
Yeah.
He's a fucking goalie. I'm like, what, Richie, what's wrong? Ah, fuck. winning.
What else? Yeah, what else has he got to do, man?
I know, right? He's won at every level, literally yeah, at every right? level, man. The guy's, but you're right. He's a hockey player yeah, for yeah. sure, man.
For sure.
And Chris Pronger is a great choice as well. I yeah. play with Prongs, and what a warrior and, yeah. and leader, and just the heart. The old, you know, one of the few old school guys that was still kicking around when I was still playing. Yeah, but
he was good. And make an outlet pass right on your tape anywhere.
Dude, oh,
anywhere.
Yeah.
For a guy that wasn't really, like, moving around real fast, he would just hold it there and then boom, right yeah. on the tape, out you go. He was, yep. I used to watch, like, I watched every single game, never missed a game. When I was young, my parents had to throw me upstairs in the bedroom because I'd be yelling at the TV. They weren't winning.
The passion.
That's where the passion comes from, man.
I'm screaming at the TV like if they're losing 2-1 in Calgary or something. You know, Wednesday night, I got to school the next day. My parents are sending me upstairs. And I go upstairs, turn the TV on. My dad's out here, his feet. I turn it off, act like I'm sleeping. And yeah, it was just it was cool. My whole life. It was always Flyers. Go to school, your dad, Flyers T-shirt, Flyers hat, whatever.
Oh,
it was.
That's awesome.
So
that's
that was my so to wind up playing here now. It's just like dream come true, kind of. And 2 years ago, people have been messaging me. I had to tell you guys this. I was playing at the Rangers, so Flyers became my rival, and they weren't picking me up. They never traded for me. I was like, fuck them.
Yeah.
And they're doing this little stupid questionnaire like on Instagram. And, they were like, "Who's your least favorite team in the NHL?" It's Philadelphia. Right? On purpose. Just
right,
you know,
right.
Stir it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I sign here, people think it's serious. You know, yeah, like, yeah. Meanwhile, I always love the Flyers, and they think it's serious. Like, he hates the team. They're messaging me and then tagging me in comments.
Of course they are.
But, yeah, it was always number one. And I was in Sanheim's draft. So Sanheim went 17. I went 19.
Right.
And I was pissed, you know, because I wanted to go to the Flyers. I wanted to go in 2 picks later. But, no, it worked out really cool. 7 years later, we're
here. We are.
Yeah.
You got a lot of career left too, so it's hopefully you're here more than
yeah,
2 years.
A lot more than 2.
Oh man,
you're also growing up here. You're all Philly, right? Like Phillies, Eagles.
Eagles. Sixers. If I had to go in order, like obviously the Flyers number one, but if I had to go in order after that, it's Eagles, Philly, Sixers.
Okay,
I love the Eagles.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm already trying to figure out who I'm going to text to get. Get as close to the sideline as I can for the opening game if I'm home.
There you go.
So I'm a diehard Eagles guy.
Greg,
I think all of Philly is.
Greg Dilimitros, he's the head equipment guy. He's my buddy. You heard it. Tony wants sideline.
I'm going to meet him.
Number 79, Mr. Carter Hart. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, boys? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time.
Any superstitions you have leading up to games?
I used to be really bad when I was younger, junior. Like, I remember the World Juniors a couple years ago. It was my last World Juniors, and I had to be the last guy off between periods and like games. Do you remember that? I think we were playing Switzerland.
Yeah.
And they put their backup goalie on the ice screw with me.
Yeah.
That, and so I'm just like, it's a standoff on the ice, and the Zamboni is almost done between the periods. Like,
come on.
There's like a lap left, and all the boys in the room were like, where the hell is Carter? Like,
yeah.
What's going on? And so then I go in. Like he goes off, I go in, whatever, and the boys are like, "What the hell are you doing?" I was like, "I got to be last off," whatever. Like we won that game, and then I think it was maybe semifinals or quarterfinals, and we played Switzerland again, and the first one was against Finland, and then we played Switzerland in the quarters, and they did that. They had like that quirky coach that year who like came into the finals saying like, "Oh, you expect us to win? They're Canada."
Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I remember.
And so they kept their goalie out again. So I'm like standing there. I'm like, screw this. So I just hopped off. But then he hopped off. Then I hopped back out.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I was like, "Hey,
it's
like,
too much work.
This is dumb. Like, this doesn't make me a better hockey player. This is just in my head. Like, it draws unwanted attention to myself, to the team.
Right.
This is dumb." So I gassed that one. Like, the only thing I really do is like, I just do everything at like a certain time before a game, and that's really it. Like, I just do the same thing. I have my pregame routine.
Yeah. How about watching Ellen before games?
Yeah, that's what I wore. Yeah, I mean, the boys chirp me.
Of course,
they say that. Like, no, first of all, they say my hair looks like Ellen. So Jans always calls me Ellen, and so I went and bought this hoodie. I'm like,
oh man!
So he loved it.
That's awesome.
Great. So like I'm playing. Sometimes I play sewer when I'm not playing, and he's like, "Oh, hit it to Ellen." I'm like,
the haircut's the same. That's awesome.
She had frosty tips, though, right? Like frosty. You know.
I don't have frosty tips.
Well, you did.
I might have better hair.
Yeah,
I think you do. I think you do actually.
No, but so I got this, and I watch her every game day. Like, I wake up at 3 for my pregame nap. She's on. When my last year junior, me and my roommate, Riley Sutter, my billet, like that's what my billet had on. Parks had that on.
So you got used to
I kept thinking he had Judge Judy on, but then it went into Ellen when we woke up and we just watched it. And I was like, hey, we're winning games. Like then when I turned pro, I just kind of kept that routine and just watched it. So I got them all recorded on my DVR.
There you go. That's awesome. Whatever works, just in case you miss one.
We have our main man in 2.0.
2.0.
He does it all. A Flyers legend. Played here forever. He's got Snow the Goalie podcast.
Yes, sir.
You do?
Yes, sir. Friend of the show, by the way.
Yes. Pennsylvania. Your rehab center, recovery center. You do it all. Mr. Chris Therrien, welcome to the show, brother.
Guys, love you. You know that. I mean, I've been on here before. I think I came on like 8th or 9th last year when you guys started, so... That was high enough for me. Anytime you're top 10 in anything, that's
big
good.
Time,
you're
right?
Top 10 for sure.
Great to be back, though, guys. You guys have a great show. Watch it every week. Great guests and great hockey coverage. So let's rock it for a little while here. And here we go. As I think, you know, a lot of coaches now, guys, get hired. If you talk to GMs, they hire coaches now tailored to, you know, work with the modern day athlete.
100%. Right? Yeah.
That's true.
Better communicators, more like,
you know, like when I used
ground
to,
level.
We had a bad game. I'd have a GM call me and be like, you were horse shit last night and I don't want to fucking ever see it again.
Yeah.
Now, if a guy has a rough game, he's like, hey, is everything okay?
Yeah.
Can I help you?
Remember,
like,
Clarky coming down the one night telling you guys you better put wheels on your homes because I'll get rid of every fucking one of you.
Every one of you guys should buy a trailer with fucking wheels on it because you're That's all great. In motion. That was rough. I mean, I've had like a GM like come down to the locker. I remember one time he came down, he ragged like 10 guys, and I was sitting there and I'm like, oh, boy, I hope I get away with this. Like,
yeah, right.
Just kind of sidesteps. So I'm sitting next to Desjardins, right? We're half dressed. We played Dallas that night. That was a 12 in a row that we'd lost it back in 99,
oh
I think,
God.
Or going into the 2000 playoffs. And he gets around and I'm just trying to like keep my head down, like look at the car. You know? And all of a sudden I hear, and fucking you, Bundy. He goes, poor Desjardins having to play with you every night. And I'm like,
damn it. That was hiding.
That was a good one, too.
Oh man, that was classic.
I remember him coming in. It got so bad with the Phantoms. He actually came down. Homer brought him down, Clarky, to talk the one day when we had Pavel Brendel.
Oh.
And we had this one kid, Pletka, who had a lot of skill. I actually think he scored the one game he got called up, he actually scored. His last name was Pletka. And anyway, Clarky comes down, everybody's in the room, trainers, everyone, and he just goes, okay, first off, guys, Pletka, you're done. He goes, go upstairs, Diana will give you everything you need, you're going home, you quit on this team, you're out of here. And I got everybody's attention, right? And he goes, and he looks over at Pavel Brendel and goes, and Pavel, you're on fucking speed dial, kid. Like that, and Brendel goes like, he goes, and I'm like, oh, I'm glad he didn't see that. He gave him the old, you know.
Oh, yeah, he had the worst attitude.
But he was bad. But
I remember Johnny LeClaire one night, we were going out on the ice, and I sit and wait, like, you know, the guys are huddling, waiting to go up for warm-up, and Brendel's there, and he's like, Johnny LeClaire goes, come on, boys. Let's feed off of Pavel's energy for this one tonight.
Is that not the truth, too, though? This guy didn't give a fuck about anything. We are so happy to have Mr. Carey Fraser. What's up, Carey? How are you, man?
Boys, I got to tell you, it's good to see you. I have flashbacks when I see faces of guys that I was involved with throughout my 30-year NHL career. And as soon as I saw you, it was like, Riles hitting the freaking speed bag, heavy bag, and working out with a fight trainer, and you running around, you know, equipment, guys need this, need that. Nasty, where are you?
Yeah,
that's,
you were always found, though. They usually found
me. I was buzzing around probably doing
ADHD
nothing.
ADHD kicking in.
Yeah, exactly. Just hyper as hell.
Still doing the same thing around here.
Yeah, exactly.
Quick showers, disappearing, couldn't find him this morning.
Yoga.
Yeah.
Yoga. That's all he does. That's all he does. So he gives me shit all the time. But we are so thankful to have you here, man. You are a busy, busy man. You have so much going on. Busy young man, getting ready to turn 70.
Yeah.
Years young. Yeah. You don't look it at all.
Keep the feet moving.
Yep, you do. Yeah, and you have a lot of stuff going on. We're going to talk about it today. But I was just going to ask you right away, when did your love of hockey start, and when did you realize you wanted to be a referee?
Well, first of all, I'm a Canadian, eh? And so my dad played pro hockey. He was in the International Hockey League. He played in Scotland when he was 19 years old in the Scottish International Hockey League. They were all Canadian guys. They had a tryout at Toronto Maple Leaf Gardens, and my dad grew up with Bill Barilko, who was a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Disappeared.
Killed in the plane crash after scoring the winning goal to win the Stanley Cup for the Leafs. So dad stayed at Bill's place and the tryout
and amazing.
He made the team, made the league, and they went over on a ship, and he played in Falkirk for a year. I may have some relatives over there as a result. I'm not sure. Maybe siblings. I don't know. But you know, with the last name Fraser, he's got that Scottish ancestry that we all have. So I was skating when I was 15 months old. As soon as I could walk, I would go to dad's practices, and the trainer would put my skates on, and I'd go out, and I had a stick that held up. As soon as I could walk, I was banging a puck in our kitchen. And we lived with, took care of my my great-grandfather, and he had a cane, and he was the goalie. Yeah. So I was like a year old, and I'm whacking pucks at him and balls. And so the love of the game as a Canadian is instilled in us. We grew up on backyard rinks. I played AAA All-Star Hockey from Pee-wee, Bantam, Midget, and then went on to play junior. I finished playing junior A as the captain of the Sarnia team. Mark Howe was the last player that I played against that played in the NHL.
Wow.
He was with the Detroit Junior Red Wings. His mom, Colleen, was the general manager of the team, and Billy Day was the coach, former Red Wing. So I was a good little player. My dad was also a boxer, Riley.
No way.
Yeah, and he was really a tough guy. Forearms like Popeye. He had the anchors on them. And so he taught me how to fight when I was 12 years old in our kitchen. And he'd knock me down, and he'd say, "You got to keep your hands up, keep your hands up." And boom, I'd go down. He'd just, you know, open palm slap me down. And I got it. I finally got it. And I was a lefty. And I had bony hands, and I could cut guys, and I hated bullies. Absolutely hated bullies. So we were playing AAA Midget. We had five guys on our team that went on to play in the NHL. Wayne Merrick was a four-time Stanley Cup winner. We had Bob Neely, first pick of the Toronto Maple Leafs on D. He was 6 foot at that time playing Midget. So we had some really good players. And we were playing in this, you'll love this, we were playing in the aftermath of the Silver Stick Tournament for Midget players. It was called the Silver Blades. We're playing in Port Huron, McMoran Arena. We're in the final. We're playing against this Michigan team, and they had a big guy on defense that was dirty, and he was sticking our guys. And Dad, the coach, said, "Boys, be disciplined, be disciplined. We're going to win the game, win the game." So no penalties. Okay, so 5 minutes left with all these big guys on the team. Taps me on the shoulder. He said, "Go teach that big guy a lesson." I could fight better scared than they could mad, typically. Yeah. And you know, it's easier to punch up than it is down.
Yeah.
So I speed bagged this guy with both hands, cut him over both eyes. We get thrown out of the game. I'm in the dressing room. The guys come in. We win the championship. Everybody's excited. And I hear this argument out in the hallway. And I hear my dad's voice. And he slipped in the dressing room, locked the door. He came over. He put his arm around me. He said, "Listen, Kerry," he said, "I'm really proud of the way you took care of that kid." He said he needed to be taught a lesson. He was dirty, and he's a bully. He said, "While you took the kid, I don't think you can take his mother. She's out there waiting for you."
Come on.
Well, it gets better.
Listen, Mom.
He said, "I'm serious. We got to get you out of here. She's not leaving. She's waiting for you to come out." Oh, I said, man. "Okay, well, what do we do?" He said, "You see that stick bag? I weigh 115 pounds.
Come on.
Get in the stick bag." The old man threw me over his shoulder, zipped me up, and away we go. Walked past the mother.
Wow.
That's amazing.
She was checking all the faces of my teammates.
Oh, impressive.
That's amazing. Currently, the color commentator for the Philadelphia Flyers. He's done it all. TV, radio. He's a star. He is a star. Mr. Steve Coates.
Dave, thanks. Ryle's always a pleasure.
Yeah, Coatesy, what's up?
Oh, what's up? Oh. Boy, I'll tell you what. Just, it's nice to be on the right side of the ground. That's all.
Yeah,
that's
right. Important.
You say you've been around a long time? Long time. Long time.
You're going to be around a long, long time, Coatesy. Yeah. You're kicking,
like a fine
baby.
Wine, Coatesy.
What's that?
You're like a fine wine.
Oh, Well, that's probably why I had that heart problem, because I drank it
so much. Oh, man.
If there's a minute to go or went into one, I'll block a shot for you. Outside of that, I'm not going to do it. I mean, they hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And the equipment was, you know, inferior to what they have now.
100%.
You get one in the toe, you get one in the shin. Oh, my goodness, it would just absolutely stink. Why do that?
Yeah.
Why?
Now it's mandatory to block shots, get the shot blocker.
That's right. That's right.
You're coached into being in shot lanes.
So, Coatsy, I saw your stats. Des Moines, is that how you say it?
Des Moines.
You were there. Was that the IHL?
Des Moines Capitals,
and you, what a year. So, point per game guy.
Yeah, back in the day, it was a pretty good year. We won the Turner Trophy,
Cup,
on the IHL. The line, actually, Mike Emmerich made a big deal, but he was the play-by-play guy for the Port Huron Flags that year. So I got fortunate to play with a guy named Peter Mara and Ian McKinnon, and we spent the whole year with the highest scoring line, and then... from there, I went south. The next year, I went to Richmond, and I was hurt a lot, and it was just a terrible year. Came back the next year and had 25 goals in Richmond, and then busted my hand in a fight. Dumbest fight I was ever in. Dumbest fight. Homer was on the ice the same time I was, and it was the first minute of play, and I went after a guy named Jimmy Jones, who wouldn't have done anything, and I don't know why to this day. I fought him. I got to the penalty box, and I looked down, and bone sticking out of my hand.
Oh, my God. Man.
So that was the end of that.
Jeez.
Then I had next year, the franchise, the Flyers farm team, moved to Springfield.
Yes.
And there was only 10 of us. There was a time where the American Hockey League only had 6 teams, because the World Hockey Association was flourishing at that time.
That's right.
Right.
So there was 10 Washington Capitals and 10 Philadelphia Flyers players. And I was the captain, and I can honestly tell you that I was probably the worst captain those guys ever had. It wasn't a good situation. We were out of the playoffs by Christmas.
Oh, that's tough.
And it was a train wreck. And I got traded that year to Detroit, and I had my downfall there is I had a breakaway against the New York Islanders. I blocked a shot, which was an accident. I blocked the shot. Okay,
It wasn't by accident.
It was an accident. Bert Marshall took the shot, and somehow my hand got in the way. Okay, it hit me in the top of the glove. Now the puck is fired out into the center part of the ice. So now I got a breakaway. The crowd's going, yay! I got skating into the red line to pick up the puck because it was bounced kind of a little bit. I pushed it forward, and all of a sudden, my groin popped right up into my belly.
Oh, my gosh.
And I couldn't move. I got to the far blue line, and I got there, and I fired the puck in the corner and skated straight left to the bench. The crowd went from a yay to a boo in a very quick moment.
Yeah.
Okay, now you got to think, Chico Rush was the goalie. He's looking at me like, where are you going? It's a breakaway. So that was kind of the end of my time. I only ended up playing 5 games in Detroit when I got traded there because I had a pulled groin. I couldn't do anything about it.
You had a G-note in Detroit in NHL.
Yeah, I scored a goal.
Who'd you score on?
Huh?
Do you remember who you scored on?
Yeah, Dennis Herron. He's never been the same since.
No. He's not in the league anymore.
He was like, I can't believe this happened. The way I tell the story is that thank God it went in, because it would have killed him if it hit him.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. What a bomb.
Oh, it was just unbelievable.
We are very fortunate to have a gentleman who is very close to both of us in our hearts and had a lot to do with both of our careers. He's currently senior advisor. He's been the president, the GM, assistant GM, head coach, assistant coach, basically done it all. Mr. Paul Holmgren, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Derek Riley. It's a pleasure to be here. I've heard about your podcast, seen little clips of it many times, and really happy to be here.
We want to talk to you about Ed Snyder. I mean, obviously working for him, legendary owner.
Right.
Obviously, really amazing relationship.
I got to see Mr. Snyder on, obviously as a player, as a coach, and then getting to work with him when I was a GM, and then a little bit at the end there when I was a president of the Flyers. But what a wonderful man. Flyers family was him, really. I mean, he's the one that I'm sure he didn't start out thinking I got to make this a family, but because of the way he treated everybody, that's kind of what happened, really, over the course of time. And all he cared about was winning. When you worked for him, he wanted to make sure everything was available in order for you to do your job the best you could, and then he let you do your job. He didn't interfere. He would debate you on things, vehemently debate on whatever you wanted to do. You wanted to sign this guy as a free agent. You wanted to make this trade. You wanted to fire this guy. You wanted to play this guy in the power play over this guy. He wanted to debate that, you'd debate. But at the end of the day, it's okay, good luck. I hope you know what you're doing.
Yeah, right. So he was that involved in some of your day-to-day
stuff? No, but, you know, a lot of stuff. I remember one conversation. He called me up one time, and I can't remember what precipitated the call, but we might have made a small trade or something. And you try to keep him informed, right? I mean, he is the owner. He should know what's going on.
Of course, yeah.
So I must have forgot to tell him something, and he calls me up, and he's kind of yelling at me. So I listen and take it in, and then I say, okay, so let me get this straight. So if I want to give the equipment manager a $10,000 raise, should I call you on that? Well, no, don't be silly. You don't have to do that. But so, it's, you know, it's just you could go back at him with stuff. It was just I loved working with him. And you know what, at the end, I remember I talked to him a lot, even when he was near the end. I'd FaceTime with him, and we had a lot of good talks. But he you know, everybody misses him, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we all miss him. Yeah. He was just a wonderful mentor and wonderful guy to be around.
I thought it was so cool. Like, he would come in, like, the day, like, say he came to the skate zone, it wasn't a lot, but I remember the one day I was outside grabbing something out of my car, and he came flying in that really cool color. I don't want to say purple. It's a lightish blue, that Porsche, lightish blue with a hint of purple. It's like metallic, like, just sickest car. He comes flying in, windows down, shades on, just rock and roll, just blaring. I'm like, look at this guy. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Comes in, and I'm like, that car is sick, Mr. Schneider, because he came in the back way and then went upstairs. And he's like, you want to take it for a test drive? I'm like, absolutely not. My luck, I'll pull out and get T-boned. I'll be trying to work the rest of my life to pay it off.
We were driving to lunch one time. We were going to Famous Dave's down there on Columbus Boulevard.
Yeah.
You know that road there? He's going around 20 miles an hour. I said, this thing open up a little bit.
Imagine you saying that.
He stomps on it. We're going about 140 miles an hour down Columbus Boulevard. Ooh, this is all right.
Oh yeah. My God, that's funny you say that because you're pretty fast driving.
I settled down.
When they used to come, like, say we're in Brooklyn or New York, it'd be like, how long take you? You know, about 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Yeah. Whoever was riding with him was like,
hold on tight.
Yeah. Used to bust his chops.
Nobody fell asleep.
No, yeah. No, they didn't. I'll tell you that. I remember, too, a couple times, like, Mr. Schneider, like, he was so passionate. Like, I remember one time he would come, not more than one time, if the guys had a bad game, and he would come down. I remember when Chief was coaching, and he was all over both of you, and nothing really that you had done, but he was just so mad, and he kept coming down, and I was, like, waiting because the guys kicked everyone out of the room having a team meeting. You know, you've been in those.
Sure.
And he had his ear up to the door, and he was like, what are they saying there? What are they saying? I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to listen too. You know, he was so red. You know, when you get mad, you get red like that. But he was awesome. He was just awesome. Just an awesome man.
Sometimes you just gotta take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let him get it off
exactly.
His chest.
What are you gonna say?
Yeah, exactly. What are you gonna say?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. No problem.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be amazing to work with him and kind of pick his brain and understand where the vision comes from, because it's like to build a franchise like the Flyers and to surround
and
himself
and everything
that's
spun off of the Flyers,
right,
really,
exactly.
When you think about it, Prism and
Yeah, no
that's
doubt.
True. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about
all
that.
All his company is it's unbelievable. It's pretty an amazing. Unbelievable story.
All right, we're back. Big thanks to our man Baller Debo for putting together the highlights the 2022.
Appreciate it.
Christmas special.
Funny stuff, man.
Lots of good stuff. More to come. Yes. More to come. We're just getting going, Nass.
We're just getting going, I think.
Yep. Yeah, just starting to find our groove. Lots of big things coming in 2023.
Yes, very excited.
Nice big guest coming on for episode Hundo and a announcement coming in the next couple weeks too. Yes. So
can't wait.
Excited for 2023 and in the direction of Nasty Knuckles.
Yes, yes.
Good stuff.
Very lucky, fortunate.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun seeing your ass every day.
Yeah.
Or every other day.
If we could find you.
Yeah, you know where to find me now.
Jamaica, Miami. Fuck. I mean, fuck. Where are we going today? Where are you going today? Like, flying somewhere? Flying to Maryland to have caviar?
No, not with today.
With the Clear Boys?
No, not today.
No. Okay.
Maybe the new year, though.
Yeah.
Caviar. Yeah, sushi.
Sushi. Sorry. Yeah. Sushi.
You got to get calves-y. Right.
You didn't have any calves.
Well, speaking of clear.
Yes. Clear rum.
Yeah.
Get it in you. clear water. Ooh. Yeah. Love it.
You were overserved last night, no?
Why are you going to throw that out there like that? Fuck's sakes.
Dragging this morning.
Maybe. No, I wasn't dragging this morning. I'm ready to rock and roll, but you ain't got to throw it out there for everybody. Maybe I was N1. I don't know.
You're looking fresh.
I know one thing. I saw Baller up on the big screen. He was definitely N1. Yeah, a companion, too.
Oh, the old Jumbotron. Nowhere to hide.
Sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Nowhere to hide.
Oh, man. No. Yes. Well, let's get into it. Our clear questions from Clear Rum.
Ready. Let's go, Baller.
We've had a lot of questions over the past week about how long you guys think Chuck Fletcher has with the team.
Oh, I knew this was coming. I don't know the exact answer to that, but as long as the performance remains where it is and they're not winning games, the shelf life becomes shorter and shorter, right? I mean, this is a business of performance. Well, like any corporation, right? I think this year has kind of been the year the other... Yeah, you're either going to move over the hump or you're going to have to move past the GM. I think we're at that critical phase. I think started out so well, and I knew that wasn't overly sustainable. But it's becoming very, difficult to watch once again. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think, Nasty? I don't think he's got a whole lot longer. I mean, originally I was thinking, you know, by Christmas, New Year's, but... I don't know. I don't think he'll endure the rest of the season, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't. It's hard to say, like, which way they're looking at it. Are they going to say, hey, these injuries have killed us, you know, maybe some moves? I don't know. I'm not a GM, not a president, so it's hard for me to say, but it doesn't help with the way it's gone the last 3 years, that's for sure. You know, in your third year, another tough year we're dealing with right now. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
It is hard to say, you know. But I say winning cures all. I just don't see that happening this season where they're going to start spinning out all kinds of wins and transforming this thing.
Well, I think, not to beat a dead horse, but I think when that question, you know, it's been getting asked a lot, but I think you have to go back to expectations – from back near the end of last year when they came out, open checkbook, where this is a retool. You know, I think you hear that and then you don't like some things that we thought were going to happen. And we've had guests say, I think this was a good move not to bring Johnny Gaudreau in here. I still disagree with that. That's just my opinion. It means nothing, but yeah. Everybody has their own opinion. But when you tell people this is what we're doing and then you have the biggest free agent available,
yeah,
knocking the door down to come here and you don't bring him, I think now you see it with the attendance. it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth, kind of, you know, like as a fan. And, you know, we're friends with a lot of these guys, and we're pulling for everyone. Like, we're pulling for the Flyers, but it's got to be mentally tough. You know, this is 3 years, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's a drag. Sled,
and it's injuries. No one can do anything about that. Like, I mean, yeah. it sucks. You don't want to use it as an excuse. It is a little bit of an excuse. Like, you have to admit, like, you never saw Coots being out.
No.
You know, no. We've talked about this to our blue in the face.
We didn't see Cam, you know, being out for extended.
Yeah, I mean, that one, then that gets dropped on you. Then you season. Get a player that just says, I've had enough. Whatever that may the reason may be, we don't really know.
No.
But just things aren't going the best.
Yeah.
You know, and they haven't. So, I don't know, man. It's a business, like you said, and, you know, who knows?
Yep. Time will tell, you know. I'm hopeful that the Flyers can turn the ship around some way, shape, or form and just kind of get back on the map. If that happens, maybe extends the shelf life. But, I mean, the reality is these last few years have not been overly successful.
Right.
So we will see.
Yes.
Chris Mayer wants to know, what's your favorite Steve Mason story?
Mace?
I hope I can. I had one that I just love, but, well, it's not bad. We went to Lake Placid, and Lavi was really good about that stuff. Like, team, everyone goes, you know, we went out as a team and coaches and everyone, staff, and we were in this bar. There's no one in town because when we're there, it's not quite season
exactly
for Lake Placid, but it was really cool. Anyway, long story short, Mace, I hope you don't get mad at me, but it was hilarious. I walk out, and I think I'm on the phone, like my phone rings, so I walk outside, and it's like, you know, 2 in the morning, and the streets are dead. Like, there's no one there. Like, this bar, it's our whole team, our staff, and then, like, 6 other people live there, locals, right? And I just hear, like, this faint yelling, and it's getting louder. I turn and look, and Mace is in a full sprint down the middle of the street. Goes, bastard! He runs right by me and just keeps going all the way to the hotel. And I just that was all I saw of him, and I just laughed. I'm like,
someone chasing
what?
Him?
No, I don't know. Thought someone was chasing. Talk about maybe in one. We were all in one that night, but it was just so funny. I'll never forget that as long as I live. Him just flying down the street, and I'm like, where could he be going? And does he think someone's chasing him? I don't know what he was thinking, but one of my funnier.
Just
Steve
wanted
Mason,
the express so shuttle funny. Home. He was just excited to get home.
Wish I could have videoed him running. It was hilarious.
Yeah, you know, just building off that, and just going back to our pod with him. I have a lot of respect for Mace. I didn't know Mace that well, and I didn't realize the mental health stuff he was dealing with leaving Columbus, and talking about that with us on the pod and just being vulnerable. It's tough. You think of these smaller markets, like there's no pressure there, but even in Columbus,
he was a kid.
He was a kid, and for him to think that is. You know, career might be over, and to think like I'm done playing hockey. I don't want to do this any longer. And then obviously you sign with the Flyers and whatnot. But I always appreciated hearing him speak about that because it's not a funny story, but it's a real story.
Yeah, that's it's real.
That showing that the mental health impacts everybody. Doesn't matter how much money you make and what position you are and whatever job and sport you're in. It's for real, and for him to talk about that was impactful from my perspective anyways.
Yeah, he was a great guy. I would have never known that.
Yeah,
you know, but
for sure.
Dealing with him, he was awesome to deal with. We had a lot of laughs, man. I really enjoyed Mace. He was a good dude.
Yeah, I liked him a lot.
Good dude. Went through more gear than anyone I've ever seen in my life, but we used to go, we didn't go at it, but he would put it on the dryer after a morning skate. I'm like, Mace, you're making it softer. No, it's making it stiffer. I'm like, the heat is making it so. Nope, it's making him sit. Just leave him on there all day. Come back, like he would have worn new gear every week.
Really?
I'm not kidding you.
Wow, that's
tough. I think we talked about it a little bit, but great guy.
Yeah.
But he just made me laugh when there's no one around and you just hear this yelling and I look and it's him. He was laughing, just
full sprint.
Flying. Oh,
full
God,
sprint.
It was great.
Getting his workout in.
Yep.
That was actually a good segue for the next question. Steve Coates wants to know from Riley. What player did you respect the most during your playing days?
Ooh. Is this the real Coatesy?
No, fake
fake goats. Yeah. Most respected player. Geez, there's so many of them. Obviously, you guys are way, way, way more talented than I had ever been and will ever be. But, geez, I had an opportunity to play with some pretty, pretty elite players, you know, from Jason Smith to Chris Pronger to Mike Richards, Jeff Carter. He overlapped with Fopa, Forsberg there. Claude Giroux, and going on the list. I mean, some amazing goaltenders. Kimmo Tiiminen, Scott Hartnell. I mean, I'm just thinking of an absolute warrior, you know, captain. I'm thinking of, like, you know, Jason Smith. You know, Gator. he always comes to mind when you talk about a respected guy that I play with. And it was the way he carried himself off the ice, but then it was how he prepared and how he engaged on the ice. This guy was a warrior. And such a gentle human too.
Yeah,
it was just such a nice, like, softly spoken guy. So I, you know, Jason Smith comes to mind, but it's not taking away from all these other guys. They're like legendary players. I mean, you're talking, you know, Darian Hatcher was in the mix there too. You know, a lot of respect for all these guys. These guys, a lot of these guys, I grew up watching. You know, Prongs, Hatch, to name a couple. Forsberg, obviously, Kimmo. You know, just in, even Jason Smith. But to suit up with this guy and go to war with this guy, I mean.
He was
you know, nothing but respect, but certainly a ton of guys there that are right up there in that same bracket. Because I mean, I got respect for pretty much all everyone I played with, you know, in some way, shape, or form. But there's certain guys that just stick out just based on their character and the way they play. But you know, Gator is one of those guys.
Yeah.
We got one more from Drew Chambers over on Instagram. The other day, Elliot Friedman posted, or he said on his podcast, he wonders if Kevin Hayes gets bought out at the end of the year. Drew Chambers would like to hear your thoughts.
How many years does he have left?
3 years after this season.
Oh, wow.
Well, we talked about this. These days, like, let's say Hayes ends up with, what, I don't know. 82 games right now. He's
a point a game.
He's almost a point a game. Say he ends up with even 70 points.
Yeah.
Dude, that's what people make. What he's making is what you make when you have that many points in the league, right? Like, I mean, and there's guys that I know we were talking to. I can't remember who we were talking to last week, but I remember someone saying there's guys that don't produce that much that make 70.
100%.
So to me, I mean, yeah, you can buy him out and it gives you the cap space. Where are you going to go with it?
Well, that's it. I mean, it's, yeah, I agree with that fully. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what the benefit would be. I mean, unless he really doesn't get along with Torts and it's like one of those types of deals.
If it's
one of those deals, but like, again, you're forced to replace 70, 80 points. So you're going to go turn around and spend that money on a guy that you has proven in the past to put up those types of numbers. But like, again, where if they don't put up those types of numbers and you're in one of those conundrums of like, oh, this guy's not producing again and he's getting paid this kind of money. But, you know, I think Hazy's one of those guys is like, he, you know what you're going to get from him. He seems to be pretty consistent.
Right.
Right. I mean, he's again, point of game guy.
Yeah.
You know, big body. But I think if you mentally prepare to know what you're going to get out of him, like, you just got to surround him. You got to just give him a little more.
Well, he's slotted right now at the 1C, which he's not a 1C. I mean, he's not. He'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And that's not putting him down. But, you know, I think someone sent into us, well, he'd be a unbelievable 3C on a team to go to the Cup.
For
sure. Yeah, of course he would.
Yeah.
Because if there's a team that's contending for the Cup, obviously the first two centermen are probably really good. Maybe there's a team that believes in him. You never know. Like, that wants to make a deal. You know, I mean, I haven't looked that far into it, but he just brings so much to your team and in the room, and I don't know. So I hope he doesn't get bought out.
Yeah, it just seems like maybe. I mean, if you want to dig yourself into a bigger hole again, like to replace those points. I mean, yeah, obviously there's gonna be some guys available in free agency, but it lands up being some bit of a gamble. At least you know what you're gonna get with them as long as he can stay healthy. But that's
and if he can keep putting points up, I mean. That's, you know, he's worth the money.
Right.
Now, if he gets 30 points,
that's a different story.
That's a different story, you know.
But if he's a point of game guy, I mean, I don't see why you would ever think about buying him out. But again, the only
bad, like you said,
unless there's some friction there in the locker room. But We don't know that.
Nope.
All right. That's a wrap. Clear questions.
Clear rum.
Clear rum. Your fave.
Whew. Love it.
And it's a wrap for episode 98. Till next week, be sure to tune in, subscribe on YouTube, be sure to like and comment on our Instagram and Twitter. What else you got, Nas?
That's it, man. That's wish everybody a happy holidays.
Yeah, yeah. Happy holiday. Enjoy Merry Christmas if you're celebrating. And we'll be back next week.
Yes.
Creeping on episode hundo. Come back for 99. Until then, stay safe. Take care, knuckleheads.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You gotta decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you gotta predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.